And some Bible teachers try to say, well, Elhanah was another name for David, and the events are out of order. But it doesn't seem to me that the events are out of order. It does seem that we're looking at another giant. It gives you a list of these four men, and it seems to be separate from Goliath of Gath that David fought. And so this particular passage, this man was a different man. He was not David. And he fought not Goliath as Goliath that we know of in Scripture, but probably Goliath's brother. I do not know if it's proper that his name was Lami, as it's written in Second Chronicles. It's hard to know because the text, the way it's some of the problems with the text there. Verse 20, and there was war at Gath again, where there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also had been born to the giant. Okay, so we got number four here, and this guy, he's scary. You know, I mean, you look up, and he's not only a monster, but he's got some genetic deformities there. And, you know, it's kind of hard when someone pulls up a spear and you count that extra finger there. You know, you don't want to lose your focus, but sometimes it's kind of like, you know, Cyclops and these monsters, these guys come up, and man, it's easy to lose your focus, but... this guy was a scary dude, to say the least. And then in verse 21, and he defied Israel. Again, we find the same type of prideful chiding. And if you remember back to the story there with David and Goliath, Goliath was in the Valley of Elah 40 days. He would go out early in the morning and say, send me your best man. And he would curse God, and he would chide Israel. And so when David came 40 days later, all of these men of Israel were sitting over there psychologically destroyed. They were scared to death, sitting up on the rocks over there overlooking the valley and terrified that Goliath was out there challenging them, and no one had the courage to step out and take him on. And so we find the same thing with this guy. He defied Israel. But when he did, there was someone that met him, wasn't there? And he was a reproduction of a giant killer. He was one who followed David and followed after David. Okay, so, and he defied Israel, and Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, struck him down. Don't you find that interesting? Because we go back, if we remember that passage in 1 Samuel 17, we'll remember that David's brothers, his two older brothers, or three older brothers, were there at the Valley of Elah, and they were sitting over there trembling. And some say that Shema and Shimei are the same brother, that one of those brothers, that this was his son. So here, some number of years later, out of David's family is another giant killer. Reproduced, not because of the genetic makeup, but reproduced because faith is infectious. Because they knew that it had been done before. Because there was one that had the courage to step out and do something that others could not and would not do. That's faith. It's the power of faith. It's the power of infection. Of faith. And so he steps out and he struck him down, it said. And then in verse 22 it says, these four were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Okay? Now I like that. Because hand, what does hand represent? It represents power. It represents sometimes authority. But it's saying that here David not only was the leader, he was the hand, and God gives him that glory. Isn't that awesome? It's shared. God did it. God did it through David. But there was one man that had faith that was willing to step out in the valley and to take on the obstacles and to fight the fight. One who was able, who was willing. One who exercised faith in a remarkable way. And it had an impact. So we have four other giants that were slain by the hand of David and by the hand of his men. I want to take a couple of points, make a couple of points in closing here about giant killers. Okay? All right? And you can jot down some of these principles, but there are things that we need to think about in terms of what it means. And basically, you know, giant killers is a kind of a clever term in relation to the context of this passage. But let's think of it in terms of what it means to become people of faith. What it means to really believe that God is Almighty God. And that He sits on His throne in heaven. And that this earth is just His footstool. And that for some reason that we can't understand, God called us as His people to represent Him. Okay, let's think about seriously for a few minutes here as we look through some of these points. What it means to really latch on to that and believe it. And what it might mean in life if we as God's people would believe God. I think one of my greatest concerns in life is realizing that I'm going to go through my pilgrimage, my journey in life, and one day I will die and go to the grave. I'll never be able to trust God again. Like I'm able to trust Him right now. Like I'm able to trust Him today. I'll never have an opportunity because according to my understanding of Scripture, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I will go in my non-physical state and I will be with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll never be another opportunity to say, Jesus, Lord Almighty God, I believe that You are God. And I'm just looking for some challenge, for some opportunity in my life, in my pilgrimage, in my journey to show people how great You are. By faith, that they might see the greatness of God because of the faith of God's people. That's what He left us here for, people. That's why God left us here. And we need to gather together as the people of God with a perspective and a perception on life that He has called us to glorify Him. To seek the glory of God is the greatest thing that we can do. And if God, by His great mercies, could just give us the proper perspective on life so that we could step out there seeking His glory above and laying aside all of the junk, because it's all going to pass. It's all going to pass away. But these things and opportunities where you can slay a giant, you know, they just come every once in a while. And the truth of the matter is that there are probably many opportunities that in your and my life we've missed because we didn't have the perception of faith. We didn't have the understanding that with God, all things are possible, and He has called me to represent Him. Now, I don't know what else there is in life that can even compare to that opportunity. But I'm concerned that I will get to the end of my days, and there will be opportunities, things that I did not trust God with, that I should have. That I did not see the bigger picture. That God is stronger. He is greater here. Now I want to say this. This is especially the case in times when there are a lot of obstacles. In times where the roadblocks are all there, where it seems hopeless. You see, it's the nature of it. Because in those times, not only can God glorify Himself through us, but we can't take the glory for it. We can't take the credit for it. And so we should be looking for opportunities to step out where no man has gone before. Where only God Himself can take care of that situation. But what happens to us as God's people? We start whining. And we start whimpering. Oh, God, life is so hard. And my obstacles are so great. And you know, we become inwardly focused. Why is this happening to me? And it's the nature of it. But God wants us to look up. He wants us to see a greater vision, a greater purpose, the eternal perspective by faith and step out in such a way. We need it as God's people. So let's look at giant killers. I have just a list here that will be helpful to you, hopefully. The thing that I see about giant killers is they train. These were trained soldiers. People train. We need to develop skills. If we're going to grow in faith, we've got to step out in areas, in times when we're saying, I'm not going to be able to do this. Only God can help us to do this. But I'm so sure that what God is doing is what God is doing. I'm so sure that this is God's will, that I'm going to step out there anyway, though I feel inadequate, because that's where God wants us to be. To know our inadequacy, that we might know His sufficiency. That's the reality of the Christian life, and it's there every day for us. But God wants us to train, to develop skills, to grow in faith. Growing in faith is huge. It requires some training. It doesn't just pounce on you someday. It doesn't just happen. But we meditate. I can see David there as a shepherd boy meditating on the attributes of God. He is sovereign. He is omnipotent. He knows all things. He knew the timing when David went out to the valley of Elah. He knew that, and he had sent, David could have been over there saying, oh God, why are you sending this bear over here for me to fight? And why did this lion come the next day? And do you not like me? Is there something, or is there something wrong with my life that I'm, having these animals, wild animals, I'm constantly being challenged by these, killing the sheep? And he could have whined about it. But David said he developed his skills. He saw from a faith perspective, God, you're sovereign. God, these things are intended for some purpose. He didn't know it at the time. He didn't know that he was going to face Goliath. But the opportunity arose. And David was ready because he was trained. He had grown in faith. He had fought the lion and the bear. And so when he comes to the valley of Elah, he steps out. He's able to move. He'd been trained. He was ready. Are you ready? As God's people, are we ready? Is Grace Bible Church, are we a people of faith? Are we growing in faith? Do we know what it means to trust God? And things that we don't understand. Because David didn't understand why the lion came up and killed the sheep. He knew that God could send the lion somewhere else. But God had him in training. Tests come to God's people. And you must train. And you train by taking the obstacles and understanding the great hand of God. Not only do we develop skills and train, but we must be exercised. I don't know if David was fat. I don't know if he's just old or and he had aged and he couldn't stay on the battlefield, or if he'd gotten fat in the king's court. I don't know. Maybe his soldiers were being kind to him. But you got to exercise. You're exercised not only in the spiritual, the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense. And it requires perseverance and discipline. So as we're being trained, there's a perseverance to that. We continue on. We study our Bible. We get up and we open it when we don't feel like opening it. Because we need to build and train and to grow spiritually. We pray when we don't feel like praying. We say, God, strengthen me. And we know His strength within us. And there should be joy. And it should be a pleasure to us. But these disciplines, we come to church. We come to Sunday school. We take the disciplines that God gives to us. Those things are provided sovereignly by Him for our training and for our benefit. It's for our good. And it's more than what we know. God sovereignly knows things that you do not know. He's omniscient. He knows the future. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow and in 10 years. And He's preparing you for those things. And so you come trusting in the sovereignty of God, that in His hand He's working in the means of grace which He has provided for you to grow in knowledge of Him. So you persevere in it. and you gird up your loins, you put on your armor, and you go out and you do battle. You get up and you go to church. You get up and you come to Lord's Supper next week because it's His means of grace for you. It's what He's provided for His body. And so you need to come. You need to avail yourself to the grace that God gives and provides for His body. Exercise requires perseverance and discipline and regular exercise to be ready to go out and face a giant. Thirdly, you must engage. I don't know how, I mean, this to me is the obvious thing. When there's a giant there, nobody wants to go. When there's an obstacle, it's easier to withdraw. It's easier to say with Saul and with the troops there on the side, man, why doesn't somebody do something? And God has His hand. He's looking at us. He's saying, I want you to do something. You step out. You engage. God is calling us as His people. And there are opportunities there. And I fear that we miss them. I fear that I miss opportunities to share the gospel or to tell people how great God is because I'm licking my wounds or I'm so sad about my present state of how bad things are for me. And I'm so self-focused that I miss the greater eternal picture and that wonderful, glorious experience of rising above, mounting up with wings like eagles, and rising above the conflict and the obstacle to see the power of God displayed in my life. I got to engage if I'm going to be a giant killer. And so do you. So I pray that we reproduce giant killers. It requires focus. Focus is an interesting thing. I see this 24-fingered and toe guy standing out there in his sandals. And man, you can get distracted with such things. I probably shouldn't tell this story. It's off the story. I use it for junior high because I really like it. But when I was in the fourth grade, I was learning about focus. And we had the test, like they have the TASS test today. Well, we had what were called some type of achievement test. I can't even remember the name of the things. But you sat down, and there were these different time frames in which you had time periods that you had to work through the particular part of the test. And there were these different parts and set times that you were to complete those, or you were work and complete them. You had two number two pencils, and there you sat at your desk, and it was important, it was essential that you focus. Okay? One day, we were taking the achievement test, and I sat down with my number two pencil in the fourth grade, Miss Fox's class, remember it like it was yesterday. And we sat down, and there we were going through the time slots. It was about the third or the fourth time slot, and you had, I don't know what it was, 15 or 20 minutes to complete these things. And so I sat down with my number two pencil, and I was really trying to make sure that I could finish this test on time, in this particular section on time. And I looked up, and there was this kid, and he was digging. He was digging. And so, what happened to me is I lost my focus. And I mean, it was just awful, but I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And here he starts pulling. It was terrible because it was one of those long stringers. And I was trying to get my test done, and I was trying to color the dots, you know, and answer the questions, but I couldn't, you know. I kept looking at it, going, oh no, what's he doing? And I had my number two pencil, and I broke the pencil lid, and I got my other pencil, and and he keeps pulling. And he keeps, and then it comes off, and it's like it's one of these with a stringer. And he starts folding it up, you know. And I'm going, oh no, what's he going to do? And sure enough, he doesn't rub it under the desk. That would have been okay, but no, he plops it in, and there, my test is blown. You know, focus is gone. It's just gone. But we need focus. We need focus. It always grosses people out. As I was saying, at junior high, they love it. Man, that's one of the stories they really, the illustrations they really love. But focus is important. And so now that I've taken your focus off of where the focus needs to be, focus, engage, exercise, train. These are things that make up faith. Let me finish with a couple of other principles. These, in a specific way, involve David as a model. And that's a giant killer's need. We need models. Our young people need to be able to look at people that know how to walk in faith. They need to see what it means to be a man or a woman of faith. It needs to be modeled. It's essential. It's necessary for God's people. We need to see examples of what it means to trust God with our finances. That's how church body works. We need to see models of what it means to raise children according to biblical principles. We need those examples. We need people of faith. Now, your calling is important. You're important to this church body. The example that you give is essential. It's needful. And becoming a giant killer, becoming a David is necessary for us. Teach by example. You know, the bottom line is that we can say all kinds of stuff. And I'm praying, you know, I'm praying for this church body. I pray that God would test us, and God has tested us. Some of you beyond limits and beyond things that I can even comprehend. And you're there struggling and persevering and trusting God. And those examples are more, they're more than what you can grasp right now. But from the eternal perspective, you know, becoming and teaching by example is essential. And it scares me when I pray, God, test us. But I don't want to be complacent with God. I don't want to be complacent in my Christian life and my walk with Him. I don't want for Grace Bible Church to be a complacent church. We don't want pew sitters. We don't want people that come in and take in Bible doctrine and never give it out. I don't know. We don't want that. We want people that understand that Jesus Christ came to not to be served, but to serve and give up His life a ransom for many. Sacrifice. It is the nature and essence of the Christian life. It's the essential thing that must be done by example and not simply by the things that we say. We got to know God's Word, and it's essential to take it in. But it's also essential that it goes out and that we're teaching others His Word and teaching by example. David was that. He walked by faith. He engaged. He took the challenge. He said, as Jonathan said, there's no restraint with God to save by many or by few. And David was there. He stepped up. Number six. There's two more here. We're called. It's so important. And I want for you to meditate and think about it very seriously. God called you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ left you here. He's the vine in heaven, planted there, seated at the right hand of the Father, and you are the visible manifestation of Jesus Christ. You're all that some people in San Marcos will ever see. Now, I don't know how to say it, but we have to take that responsibility pretty seriously. God's Word says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's serious business. We are the manifestation of Jesus Christ, and we must be serious about His calling for us. In light of that, I can't tell you how many times I've looked and prayed in this very sanctuary, in this auditorium, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this. I can't figure it out, and I can't help anything here. But you know what I believe? I believe that if God called me, to be a pastor here that he'll give me answers. All I need to do is by faith look up. Look to him and know his power. Because if he called you, if he called me, he will enable us. He will supply what is necessary and what is essential for his people. So, I don't know what obstacles you have. I don't know how beaten down you might be this morning. But you're called of God. And he will supply everything that is necessary for you to get through what you're going through. He will do great and mighty things in your life. We need to trust him. For we are called by the power of God to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Number 7, we are to understand our purpose. David understood that he was the anointed king, that he was called of God. He understood that his purpose was to go into that valley and defeat Goliath. He understood what the cost it was to engage. We have to rise above our fears, and everybody's got them. You're not alone. Everybody has junk in their life. Everybody has area of fear that has to be overcome by faith in Almighty God. David exemplified it. He understood his purpose. And we need to understand our purpose if we want to be giant killers. If we want to be powerful for God, we must learn such truths. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and the principles that are here. We thank you, Almighty God, for your goodness and loving kindness. Bless us, Lord, as we go and fellowship together in the fellowship hall and partake a meal together and have some time to encourage one another. May it be all that it's intended to be in Christ Jesus. May we fervently love one another. May we, as iron sharpens iron, sharpen one another. May we grow in faith together. May we challenge one another in times when we need to be challenged. Reprove one another when we need to be reproved. Correct one another where we need to be corrected. And may we walk in faith with you to the greater glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here, Lord, that has never trusted you and doesn't know what it means to trust Almighty God, I pray that today would be the day to look to you and to know that Jesus Christ has supplied all that is necessary for our sins to be separated as far as the east is from the west. God, may they know the mercies of your forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And it's simple a matter of faith to say, I believe, or I put my trust in you, Lord Jesus, to save me from my sin. And it's as simple as that, the salvation that you have provided through him. God, may we know your deliverance. May we know your strength. For your greater glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.